Radio MD. RadioMD.com. From sobriety to self-care, it's Rewired Radio. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. It's no secret that social media use has skyrocketed across all age groups, and in particular with younger people. It seems like there are new apps every day that are being launched on a nonstop basis, giving us new profiles to manage and monitor. Our guest today, Josh Oakes, has helped so many teens, tweens, and parents use social media as a portfolio of positive accomplishments. Josh travels the nation speaking over 30,000 kids each year, sharing with them the tips that they can use to create a positive online presence. Josh, welcome to the show, and what inspired you to get into bringing this awareness to light?
Hey, thanks, Erica. It's an honor to be here. You know, several years ago, I was the youngest person on the ballot for city council in a suburb of Los Angeles. And as I was running for city council, I realized that the one thing I had that all the other candidates didn't was I had a clear understanding of my online presence and how it could help me get great opportunities in the future.
Wow. And so with the online presence, do you mean like in Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, or what kind of presence so the audience understands?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So people would meet me on a doorstep, and this is not very different than students applying to college or wanting to get a job. People would meet me face to face, and they'd follow up, and they'd want to learn more about me to find out if what I said was real. And they would go to Google, and I knew that helping to flood the internet with positive stuff, which we'll talk about in future segments, would end up helping me to make sure that I was positive online so that people could search for me on Google for my name. And then they would go and find my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram, and it would perhaps, in a way, be congruent with what they thought when they first met me. And they'd either want to vote for me, or they'd want to accept me into their college, or they'd want to hire me at their organization.
So you were super aware of how you came off to people on the external level. And now with kids, you know, really having, I think, a harder time getting into colleges, and just in terms of just online safety in general, there's so many, you know, predators out there, people that maybe aren't using social media for the good. How do you tell, you know, these parents and these people out there, kids, tweens, you know, young adults, how to be more mindful and be more aware of how and what they put out?
Yeah, good question. You know, one of the biggest questions I get is, when should my kid be public on social media? 5 years ago, Erica, we used to tell people, don't be public. Everything should be private. I have a few key takeaways, like a real quick cheat sheet that I'd like to share with your listeners, if I may, as to when your students should consider being public. Is that okay?
No, please do. That'd be wonderful.
So first things first, parents are really the experts here. They decide when and if ever their student becomes public. And Josh, myself, will show you how, essentially, how to drive a car, get on the on-ramp, and merge into traffic. My professional suggestion is, and this works for parents all over the nation, is if your student is 0 to 13 years old, they should be 100% private. There should be nothing that they're posting that creates a footprint of updates online that they're creating and adding to. They can be 100% private. But by the age of 14 and 15, we suggest that families have a family discussion with their student regarding what should go public eventually. Because, Erica, by the age of 15, we suggest that parents should consider talking with their students about posting something a little bit positive social media images to volunteer photos and stuff on social media. And what we do is we say, dip your toe in on a network that you trust. Just post a couple little positive photos. Because by the age of 17, Erica, colleges tell me all the time, they want to be able to find a positive online footprint for a student that they get an application for, because they want to see the authentic student on social media.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. And does this actually begin to help parents, like, in terms of not being so scared for their children? Or so, you know, I know I have an aunt who has, we have my two cousins are 13 and 14, and she's really weary of them having these Instagram accounts and this and that. And I think to have this kind of guideline like you shared is wonderful. Does this making parents feel more safe, or what is the parents' reaction to you or to the way that you're teaching?
They agree with the 0 to 13 being private, and then really I tell them it's up to them. But by the age of 14 and 15, your student is already sharing public stuff typically, and parents are just, they're turning a blind eye to it, if you will, and they're just, whatever. But I tell them, and one of the really the biggest and best safety tips, you know, we're talking about publicity right now, but the number one thing parents can do, in my opinion, and from what I've heard, is having a dialogue with their students. And that's really the middle of this public versus private discussion is age 14 and 15. You really got to have a dialogue as much as possible with your students about what apps are they on? How are they using them? How can you have them teach you the apps? Are they on the bad apps? And so right. on. And that dialogue is really the best. It's the only way to be really, really safe. Without that dialogue, there's no tool that's ever going to help you.
Right, and having those honest discussions always helps. And you have a book called Light, Bright, and Polite for Teens. That is also teaching everyone out there how to have a positive positive image on social media. What else does the book entail?
Yeah, good question. Book starts out with a bunch of problems and background issues that people have had on social media. So it teaches you how to get fired if you want to learn how to do that. It teaches you how to get kicked out of a country. Somebody was visiting Australia and they had made some bad posts and they weren't allowed in the country. So it really talks about what could go wrong first, because I think that's interesting. It opens it up and parents go, wow, this is a problem. It tells the why. And then we dive into, what do colleges really want to see from you? And we outline a bunch of positive ways your students can be on social media, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. And then it kind of dives into some other case, activities you could highlight. There's all kinds of things kids do that can be good on social that they should share. I really do believe it can be used for good. And then in the end, there's some case studies of positive students doing the right thing.
Wow, that sounds really, that sounds awesome for people to actually read. And I like what you said by seeing what the negative can be and then also making it more hopeful, and that you really can use these outlets for such a positive, outcome on whatever it is that you're doing. How have you been inspired lately in how things are changing with social media, like just with the apps and different things that are actually more at our fingertips? Have you been inspired by that, or is it less? I mean, is it you think more dangerous that all these apps are coming out now?
That's a really good question. I'm a positive person, much like you are, Erica. So I really am very optimistic about it. I think that it's refreshing that some students are starting to realize that the more that they put out, kind of human nature and society is picking up on this. Students know not to tweet while they're on vacation and saying, hey, I'm on vacation for a week. Essentially, they all know, hey, you're saying, come rob me. So there is some common sense coming back, especially for middle schoolers. What I don't see, and this is an interesting point, is millennials that are getting jobs, they're the ones that seem to still be a little wild. They're the wilder of the bunch sometimes, which is the irony of it all. As they're trying to get jobs, they don't know what to take down. But for kids, it's getting a little bit more refreshing. Now, there is one big theme I'm seeing, Erica, and that's disposable content, which we know as Snapchat. Really, it kind of opens up the kids to try more things, and they think it's going to go away. When in reality, in some of my speeches, I explain to students, here's exactly how to download using another app and how I did it and almost got a friend in trouble. But because I asked permission, I didn't get him in trouble. So really, we're just trying to show students, even when you think it's going to disappear, it doesn't. And there's one other thing that's a little bit of a problem that we're seeing as a trend. Students are okay with being snarky and sarcastic with each other one-on-one, and it's kind of fun for them. And they do that on Snapchat because it's disposable. It's a one-to-one medium typically, and it goes away. But as soon as they jump over to Twitter and Instagram, that's when it starts to become public and to change their online image. And we notice that colleges find snarky students, and they think that that's really how the student always is, and that becomes a big problem.
Right. Well, thank you, Josh. This is such an important issue, and I really appreciate you sharing these tips with us. Can you tell our audience where they could find you?
Yeah, our online thing is safesmartsocial.com, where we offer social media safety tips for parents of tweens and teens. That's safesmartsocial.com.
Okay, great. And Josh's book, Light, Bright, and Polite for Teens, is available on Amazon or anywhere where they sell books?
Yeah, Amazon.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. You are listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman, and stay well, everybody. Thank you. Ooh, 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 ooh.